the night, exchanging glances, wondering in the night, what were the chances we'd be sharing love?
Frankie!
Oh, I can see him in his tuxedo.
The night was through.
The hint of a toupee.
Frank was very self-conscious about his bald spot in the back.
And when he was doing movies, he would... You remember that product called GLH, Great Looking Hair? Something like that. You'd spray your head.
Oh, yeah. It was like spray on hair.
Yeah.
Like out of an aerosol can.
So I was reading Sinatra by Kitty Kelly. He was very, very self-conscious, so he would spray the back of his head, even in the earlier days.
And was that a good book? Good read?
Yeah, it's like 500-600 pages. I mean, you know, don't go anywhere for a while. It's a page turner, you know? But it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. I read it at his home in called Twin Palms in
At Frank's home.
Yeah, Frank's home is called Twin Palms in Palm Springs. Gentleman bought it and he lets people stay there. And everything, the furniture is still there, the albums, the pictures, the carpets, everything's pretty much original. The lighting, the lamps are like from the, you know, 50s when he was with Ava. And they lived in Palm Springs at Twin Palms was the estate.
Something tells me if I saved up two paychecks, I still wouldn't be able to afford to stay there for a weekend.
Hey, you know what? It's nutty. It's nutty. You never know. Dream. I was born in the streets of Philadelphia. I didn't think I'd be staying there for 5 days.
And wow.
They cater in. The food comes in. The booze comes in. So we were there with other couples. And you just keep partying. It's just amazing. And his little recording studio is still there. And I was like touching the buttons. He's like, don't touch the buttons. I'm like, I would touch the buttons. Frankie touched it.
No, you were Sam alone was not touching the buttons.
I was trying to like get Frank DNA on my skin. Every Friday on the show, it's famous now at 8:30-ish, we have our marriage segment. And I've been doing this for years on the radio. I was banned at the last station from talking about the sanctity and the glory of marriage, of reminding, mostly men, I address men on this one, remaining faithful, semper fidelis. It's not just the theme of our Marine Corps. Remaining faithful to your lovely bride is the best thing you can do. My wingman for years has been Robert Kosick, wrote the book Honor the Vow. He's a church deacon. So he's kind of like, you know, a little more serious than I am. Marriage coach. What's up, Mr. Kosick?
Hey, happy Friday, Sam.
Happy Friday. Yeah, I'm a little more street. I'm a little more goofy. I'm the one who's telling husbands to grope their wives. And the
I still have a little bit of that in me. I just try to reserve it for the right time.
Hey, babe, anytime she's in the room is the right time.
There you go. There you go.
I've been groping my bride for 24 years in November. 24 years, and I ain't stopping.
There you go. All right, advice ever.
Today, it's posted on our Facebook page, Sam Malone Show. Mr. Kosick sends me the notes for our marriage segment today. It says, silence. The saying, silence is golden, but in marriage, it's fool's gold. Okay? The lack of communication is a major contributor to the demise of a marriage. Communication occurs in three different levels. Facts only. Number two, ideas and opinions. Number three, feelings and emotions. Couples never get past level two are missing out on the best part. Yeah, silence isn't golden in marriage.
No, not in marriage. It's terrible. I mean, let me preface that a little bit. Sometimes it's good for the guy to keep his mouth shut. Just let her talk. But if you guys are never communicating with each other, man, bad deal. Bad deal.
How do you not communicate with each other? How do you share a bed in the evening and share dinner and maybe other meals? Denise and I, it's always dinner. Right? We never have breakfast or lunch together because of the schedules. But how do you share dinner
I don't get it either, but my wife and I have a saying, and we went to a breakfast restaurant one time. I won't say the name to him because it had nothing to do with the restaurant. There was a couple sitting there, an older couple, and they sat there, came in, sat down the entire meal. They did not say one word to each other. She just stared at him, and he just stared at his paper for the entire meal.
Oh, what's with the paper? Why do... When you have breakfast out, you'll see that somebody or both will have a newspaper.
Yeah. And what's the point of eating together? I mean, he said more words to the waitress than he did to his wife. It was sad. So we refer to that as that restaurant syndrome. And so if we ever get into a mode where we're just tired or whatever, we'll look at each other and go, oh, yeah, that restaurant syndrome. Let's go do something. We're too tired. We're not investing in each other. Let's go for a walk or something.
But some couples might go, well, Mr. Kosick, I mean, you know, can you talk too much? Can there be, if silence isn't a good thing, can too much yapping be a bad thing?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple times, especially when you have the kids in the car where, you know, especially, and if you're an introvert like me, a lot of times silence is where you get re-energized. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when the kids are real excited about stuff and they're just going, I'll turn around and go, zip, zip, nothing. 5 minutes, nothing, zip. So there is time to be quiet. There's times to listen. But when it's a routine, when it's something that you do all the time, kind of like when we talked about the TV in the bedroom last time, if it's done the wrong way, it's hugely damaging. If it's done the right way, it's very positive for your marriage. Same situation here. Sometimes you need to be quiet. You need to listen. Other times you need to interject. You need to talk. You need to work things through. It's that never connecting level or only staying on the surface level of conversations where you really get into trouble.
Exactly. Silence isn't good. Y'all need to be talking, hooting, hollering.
Guys, having a good time.
When you see your wife get out of the shower, say something.
Oh, yeah.
Go, oh, and yeah. How you doing?
And I'll tell you what, wives, you want to put a guy up on cloud nine? Say something positive about him in public where other people hear you. Then you really
You want to talk about endangered species?
Yeah.
Wives complimenting their husbands in public at dinner, at parties, at an event is an endangered species. Wives putting their husbands down in public. It's a crowded train.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful for them. But I tell you what, you know, if you look at the top 10 things that cause issues in marriage, that people say these are our biggest issues in marriage, communication's number two. Usually financials number one because that just creates tremendous amount of stress. But communication's right up there. And I talk to couples constantly, and I say, okay, tell me what the biggest issue is. Communication. We can't talk to each other. I said, well, you obviously are communicating with each other. You just don't like the style by which you're communicating with each other. So we need to work through that a little bit. And it's not that hard to do. And the three things that I listed out there for the tip today, there's actually five levels, but I combined two of them just to make it more simplistic. That facts level, that's what you do with your buddies. You know, they're cliches. Nice weather. How things going? Do anything fun today when you come home from work? A lot of couples never get past that. And I don't get that. They're just not invested in each other. They are tired or they're not interested or whatever the issue is. They just never really get past that one. The next one down is the one that gets them in the most trouble. That's those ideas and opinions. Let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you what I think you should do. You know, the example that I read, one example was so funny. The guy walks in and asks the wife, what's for dinner? Assuming she didn't cook dinner, what she heard was, I can't believe you didn't prepare dinner again.
Biatch.
Right? She's going to hear what she wants to hear. And so if you never get past that second level and really understand what's going on, she's fatigued, she's tired, she's wiped out, you'll never get to that real intimate level that is the foundation for the marriage that you and I talk about all the time.
Amen to that. 842, my wingman on Marriage Talk, Robert Kosick, wrote the book Honor the Vow, talking about silence in marriage. It's an old adage that men pass down to men, only on the men's side, not on the women's side. They say, don't bring your work home. When you get home, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? It's like, you know, you had a crappy day. Something went south. And things go south every day in business. Do you bring it home? Do you talk about that? Or just, oh, no. How was your day, honey?
Yeah. Well, again, it's one of those issues that if it's done properly, it's great. You're investing in each other. I mean, that's my world, right? And for most guys, unfortunately, that's where they attach their identity to. It's their work. It's who they are. It's what they do. Women, for them, their identity is the house. How the house looks, how the kids are doing. So you need to connect to each other on those levels. Otherwise, you won't get to that level of emotional level three that we have in here. But if you bombard them with it, if every day you come home and you're complaining about this person, complaining about that right. person, or how hard everything was, and you never reciprocate and want to hear their side, or it's always negative, that's going to be damaging. But if you say, hey, I just want to let you know what's going on today, or even if it's hard and you had a bad time, to slip those in once in a while is okay, but to constantly be there in a dominated right. conversation like that, they're going to tune out. They're not going to want to hear what you're saying.
I'm sorry, tuned out. What were you saying?
Yeah. So along those lines, let me give you a little tip. Guys, who we talked about a few weeks ago, where sometimes the guy's doing the honorable thing by walking away from an argument when they're having it because he doesn't want to say something that she's going to use against him for the rest of his life. And so he wants to close his mouth. But here's the problem. If you sit there and don't say anything, she's still going to have a conversation in her head. You're just not going to be able to influence it. So she's going to be thinking, what did he do wrong? He doesn't love me. And all the negative stuff she's going to throw in there. So you might as well speak up and defend yourself. That's otherwise, right. she's going to throw everything in there herself.
Like you always said, just, take care. The grass is always greener. Some guy's working it. Take care of the grass.
Yeah.
And invest in your marriage. Spend time in your marriage. Once again, groping. Always, I'm really big on groping. Go with the groping. You can't go south. And when you work at it, you're less likely, I can't say it's a guarantee, you're less likely to run around. Because once you open the door and you start, doing bad stuff like that, it's going to be with you the rest of your life.
Oh, I know. And when you invest in it, it's something that's so positive. You want to hear the other person, not because you're so concerned about the stories, but because when you're at the level that we're talking about, you're hearing about the person. You're getting closer to the person. I think I shared with you, my wife and I, a couple of summers ago, we just took a drive through the hill country when the kids were all in camp, 4 or 5 days, 24 hours a day together, and people were amazed. Well, what day did you run out of things to talk about? You know, we're in the car most of the time driving around. And I said, well, you know, day 4, things slowed down a little bit, but we never ran out of things to talk about because we were always sharing ourselves, that level 3 kind of communication. But we built up to that. You know, we didn't just walk in. If the husband wants to try something fun tonight, walk into his wife tonight and say, my gosh, dear, I love you so much. Tell me everything about you and how your day went, and things are wonderful. She'll jump all over that, and in about 10 minutes into it, his eyes will glass over, and he'll disappear. She'll let him have it. But well, if you get to the point where you're doing that on a regular basis, number one, you don't get the fire hose. You don't get it all in one shot.
Right.
And two, you're hearing her inner deep parts, emotional needs, and things that make her who she is. That's the stuff you fall in love with. That's where the oneness comes together. And the stuff that comes after that is phenomenal. Anything you're doing now, if you're only at a level 3 communication, will be light years better. Hoorah. If you're at that emotional level as well.
Hoorah. He's a church deacon. He marriage coach, wrote the book Honor the Vow. Good job, Mr. Kosick. I think if we can just get one couple to turn up the heat a little bit, we've accomplished our mission.
Absolutely. So let me give you some advice in closing from some 2,000 years ago. In the book of James, chapter 1, he says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Practice those 3 things, and you can turn your marriage back around.
Rock and roll. Thank you, buddy. Tips on our Facebook page at Sam Malone Show for Mr. Kosick. Quick break. Let me get to the break. AM 1070, The Answer.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy, man, or even made of this. Don't forget a small lonely. Fold in lightly with a dream.